Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Here come our favorite adversaries, John and Blanche Bickerson, starring Don Ameche and Frances Langford. Today's show will be a bit different from what we normally have with the Bickersons in that we do not have the entire half-hour Old Gold show for you. What we do have are the Bickerson segments from three different shows, which aired, as far as I can tell, on February 27th, March 6th, and March 26th. So you still get a half hour of entertainment, just the three Bickerson segments. All of those shows were from 1948. Here now are the Bickersons.
Now, here are Don Ameche and Frances Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. It is a little past midnight, and the Bickersons are just returning from a late movie. Poor husband John, who suffers from cinephobia, or a morbid dread of talkies, mainly because they interfere with his sleep, drags his weary feet up the stairs to the Bickerson apartment as the wide-awake and stimulated Blanche follows. This...
Never been so humiliated in my life. Once a year, you take me to a movie and you had to start snoring the minute you sat down.
Wasn't snoring.
Not much. You snored so loud you blew the hat off a woman five rows away.
Sleep, will you, Blanche?
Sleep? What's the matter with you, John? You're not in bed. You're walking up the stairs.
Oh, I'm dead. I should have gone right to bed after work.
I don't see why you're complaining anyway. You slept all through the picture.
What picture?
Sleep, my love.
What?
Sleep, my love.
Okay, good night, darling.
John, stop undressing in the hall.
No. How much further we got to go?
It's the next landing. Come on, get up.
Okay.
Just once, I'd like to be able to sit through a whole picture without having you embarrass me. I was dying to see the finish of this one. It was such an exciting mystery.
Yeah.
Now I'll never find out if the man killed the woman.
Were they married?
Certainly.
He killed her. Open the door. I can't stay awake another minute.
I didn't take a key. I left mine on the dresser. Where's your key?
I haven't got a key.
You have to. I gave you one on your last birthday.
Well, I lost it.
How could you lose a key? Don't you carry it with your valuables?
Yeah, but I had a leak in my bourbon pocket.
Well, what are we going to do? We can't stand here for the rest of the night. John, stop dozing off like that.
No.
There must be some way to open the door. Why don't you use your head?
It won't fit in the keyhole. Good night, Blanche.
How can you sleep standing up? If you ever move away from that wall, you'll fall flat on your face.
I can't fall.
Why not?
I got my suspenders hooked over the light bracket.
Stop hanging there like a sack of wash. Why don't you do something, John? Why don't you call a locksmith, John?
Why don't you hire a hall, John?
John Hall.
See what you've done. You've awakened all the neighbors. Now you listen to me, John Bickerson. Pull yourself together and start thinking how we're going to get into the apartment.
I'm thinking.
You're sleeping. You get right over to that door and see if you can't break it down quietly. Go on.
Okay.
No!
What happened?
I forgot to unhook my suspenders. My back. Get me out of here, Blanche.
Serves you right. Bend your head a little. There.
Oh, thanks. Now, let's see. Wonder how strong this lock is. Well, I'll be...
It was open all the time. I don't remember leaving the door open. You must have done it.
Okay, I've done it. Just let me get to bed.
Well, don't throw your things on the floor. Why don't you hang your clothes in the closet? That there is another man in the world who's as careless as you are. No wonder you have to buy a new suit every 2 months.
New suit? I've only got one measly suit to my name.
How can you say that? What about your blue suit and your gray suit and your brown suit?
That's it, on the floor.
What are you talking about?
It's the same one. I keep on painting it. It died so often I look like an Easter egg when it rains.
Oh, don't be so funny.
I'm not funny. I'm sleepy. Put out the light, Blanche.
You're always crying poverty, and your clothes are as new as anybody.
Sure.
You didn't throw them on the floor every night. They'd last longer.
They last long enough.
They do not. Look at your pants rolled up in a ball. I'd expect them to keep their shape.
I'll have them rebagged in the morning.
You get out of that bed and pick those things up.
Please, Blanche.
Come on. Get up, get up, get up. Oh! I won't have you turning this room into a pigsty. Oh. Your hat's on the chandelier. Your shirt's on the night table. Your shoes are sitting on the radio. Where are your socks?
Standing in the corner. Told you 100 times not to starch the bottoms.
Well, have some new soles put on your shoes. Now, come on, get out of bed and pick up your things, John. I mean it.
Okay, can't get a minute's rest. Work like a horse all day and then have to clean the house at night. Here, what do you want me to do with it?
Hang it up. Now take all your soiled linen and put it in the laundry basket. Your shirt too, John.
All right.
Well, don't roll up that dirty stuff in those lace curtains.
What lace curtains? These are my shorts. Now, everything is picked up. Is there anything else?
No.
Are you sure you don't want the windows washed or the closet painted? It's only 1 o'clock in the morning, Blanche. I got nothing to do until 7.
Don't be so sarcastic. Doesn't kill a man to help with the housework. Every husband does it. Louise Shaw is the lucky one, believe me. She's got a real husband.
Oh, sure.
She has the house as clean as a pin by the time she gets home from work.
Who has?
Mel Shaw.
Mel Shaw's a bum.
Well, he's a neat bum. More than I can say to you.
Blanche, why don't you put out the light so I can go to sleep?
Someday you'll be more considerate of me, and then we'll get along a lot better. I'd die from surprise if you ever offered to make the bed with me or polish the furniture with me. I've been waiting for 6 years for you to mop up the floor with me.
Don't put ideas in my head.
Are you threatening me, John Dickerson?
I'm not threatening you. Didn't I dry the dishes tonight?
You cracked half of them.
Well, the oven was too hot.
I knew I never should have left you alone in the kitchen. I'll bet you didn't clean out the bread box.
I cleaned out the bread box.
Did you cover the bird cage? What about the cat?
Cat's sleeping.
Where?
In the bird cage.
In the bird cage? Where's the canary?
In the cat.
John Dickerson!
Oh, the canary is all right, and I took care of the cat.
Did you brush his coat?
I brushed his coat. I pressed his pants. I washed his drawers. I hung up the dry. I hate that cat.
It's a pretty fair indication of a man's character when he doesn't like animals. I love that cat.
Well, good.
I wish he was married and had 12 kittens.
Yeah.
Why don't you introduce him to some nice tabby, John?
I'll introduce him in the morning.
Say it, but you won't do it. Do it now.
What?
Go on, get up and find the cat a wife.
Blanche, what do you want from me? Why don't you come to bed? You're all undressed. You got your hair in clippers. You've creamed your elbows and you've rolled your neck.
I haven't finished my face yet.
Well, finish it in the morning.
Don't be so impatient. I have to let this grease pack set for 10 minutes, otherwise it has no effect.
Grease pack?
It's a new cream and it cost me $15. Ooh. It's guaranteed to make you beautiful in 5 treatments. This is my 4th.
It is, huh?
Yes.
Boy, that 5th treatment must be a pip.
Well, that's too bad about you, John Dickerson. Maybe your other girlfriends don't have to use face cream.
Oh, put out the lights.
I notice you never complain about Gloria Gooseby's makeup.
Oh, now don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
She has to struggle out of 12 pounds of cosmetics before you can even get close to her.
I always get close to her and she never struggles. The sight of Gloria Gooseby, and you know it.
Then why are you always making comparisons?
I didn't make any comparisons. I just want to sleep, that's all.
What a fool I am. I go through torture to look good for you, and you reward me with insults.
Why must you do it at night, Blanche? You know I have to get up so early.
I just wish you hadn't spent a whole day under a permanent wave machine, or have your eyebrows done.
Why do you have to wave your eyebrows?
I don't wave my eyebrows. I have them plucked.
What for?
Because it sets off my eyes and improves the lines of my face.
Your eyes are offset enough. You've got plenty of lines in your face. You don't have to pluck your eyebrows for me.
Yes, I do.
You do not. I like them the way they are, nice and bushy.
That's a left-handed compliment if I ever heard one.
Well, I'm left-handed. Why don't you put out the lights, Blanche?
As soon as I've read the paper.
Read the paper?
Go to sleep. I just want to glance through it.
Oh, I never heard of such a thing. I'm so exhausted.
Shh, I can't read with you mumbling like that.
Oh, mumbling.
How do they get away with these burlesque ads? This Cuddles Laverne's built like a truck horn.
Put away the paper, Blanche.
Just a minute. Here's the story.
I read the whole thing, every word of it. Why don't you let me get some rest?
I'll bet you didn't read this. It's about a woman who recovered her voice in an airplane accident.
How much is her husband suing the company for?
Don't be so smart. Oh, here's what I was looking for. I heard about this on the radio. The Museum of Art just received Rembrandt's famous painting. Look at it.
I can't. My eyes are closed.
Well, this will open them. It's the world's greatest masterpiece, Circus Maximus. Just look at this awful savagery, John.
Where?
Here.
What are those lions doing?
Devouring innocent wives. Listen to what it says.
Where?
In the 4th century, the barbarous Roman emperors indulged their bloodthirsty appetites in the cruelest sport known to mankind. Wives of villagers would be herded into an arena where ferocious and hungry lions were turned loose.
Uh-huh.
Rembrandt's painting depicts the grinning, hideous faces of the spectators, the ravenous, yawning jaws of the lions, and the plight of the wives about to be devoured.
What a shame.
Why, John, you've got tears in your eyes. I didn't think you'd be so touched.
It's awful.
Why are you so upset?
That little lion in the corner isn't getting any.
Now here are Don Ameche and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon Is Over. Like most married women, Blanche Bickerson is a romanticist. Having talked poor husband John into taking her on a second honeymoon, 3 o'clock in the morning finds Mrs. Bickerson in the lobby of a small hotel at Niagara Falls. Exhausted and bleary-eyed from the long drive, John Bickerson unloads the luggage outside as his wide-awake wife talks to the night clerk. Listen.
It doesn't really matter about the room as long as we have a nice view of the falls.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll bet you don't remember me.
No, ma'am.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to with all the honeymoon couples you meet. I was here 7 years ago.
Is that so?
Yes.
Well, better luck this time.
Oh, we're still married to each other. We're just having a second honeymoon. Do many people do that?
No, ma'am.
I wonder why.
I wouldn't know, ma'am.
Are you married?
No, ma'am. Arthritis makes me walk like this. Would you please sign a register, ma'am?
Oh, I'm sorry. Last time we were here, we had to wait 2 days for a room. We stayed in a motel in Buffalo. Here you are.
Thank you. Is that Bickerson?
Yes. Did I sign it right?
Yes, ma'am. Mrs. John Bickerson and husband. Here's a key, room 318. There's the automatic elevator over there. We don't have any bellboys at night.
Oh, that's all right. I'll go out to the car and get my husband. John! Where is he? He's not in the car. I wonder if he took the luggage out of the trunk compartment. Good heavens. The man is positively insane. John, get out of that trunk, you darn fool.
No!
John!
Blanche. What's the matter? Shut the door, there's a trap.
Come out of that thing.
All right. Don't pull. Oh, my head!
Up that luggage and straighten yourself up.
Oh.
I don't want you to go into that nice hotel looking like a ragamuffin.
Get nice muffins. Grab a couple of these bags, will you, Blanche?
No, it wouldn't look right on our honeymoon. Come on.
Oh, my back. Where's the bellboy?
We don't have any at night.
Are you the clerk?
Yes, sir.
Where's the register? I want a room with a bed.
I've already signed it. You've got a room.
Good. Where are you going to sleep?
Come on, John. Stop dragging your feet.
Drove 2,000 miles for a second honeymoon. Lead me to my room.
You had to talk like that in front of the clerk.
Oh, let me sleep, will you, Blanche?
I just left to go one place with you that you didn't embarrass and humiliate me. You've been unbearable since we left home. Keep going.
In here?
Yes. Pull the bags in so I can close the door.
No windows, no nothing. How much do they get for this broken down room?
This is the elevator.
Oh. Well, push the button or something and get it started. I can't keep my eyes open another minute.
I was afraid this would happen. I hoped that going on a second honeymoon would bring us closer together.
Can't get closer than this. Unless you throw the luggage out.
Every time I want you to be romantic, you're so distant, John. What is it that's keeping us apart?
The brown suitcase. What floor are we on? I'm sleepy.
You're always sleepy. When you're not sleepy, you're humiliating me. I'll never be able to face that night clerk in the morning.
You won't have to.
Why not?
There'll be a day clerk. Which way is the room?
I don't know, and I don't care. I'm going to stay in the elevator.
Oh, come on. Will you, Blanche?
Well, say you're sorry.
I'm sorry. Now, where's our room?
Right in front of you, 318.
Well, open the door before I collapse. Oh, thank heaven. I got to get some sleep.
Well, put the lights on. Don't stumble around in the dark.
Don't want to open my eyes. Just aim me at the bed and give me a shove.
I'm not going to let you sleep until you undress properly and unpack the luggage.
Oh, Blanche, why did you have to bring so much stuff?
You've got as much stuff as I have.
I have not. All I brought was my toothbrush and my overnight bottle.
You and that bourbon. You wouldn't take 5 steps away from home without it.
Well, I still remember what happened when we got snowbound in that cabin.
It wasn't so terrible.
Oh, not much. I had to live for 2 weeks on nothing but food and water.
Don't throw my things around like that.
There's no closet. Where shall I put these dresses?
In the drawers.
Where do you want these drawers?
In the dresser. Fold up your pants neatly and put them under the mattress.
Okay.
But take them off first, John.
Oh.
What a fool I was to think you'd change. This second honeymoon was just as big a mistake as our first one.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
I'm so sorry you made me go on this trip. I could die.
I made you go. You shanghaied me. Even tried to get me to marry you again.
Was that such an unreasonable request?
Yes, it isn't legal.
Why not?
A man can't be punished twice for the same crime.
Oh, that's too bad about you. How you shamed me in front of all my friends after I sent the invitations out, too.
Well, I wasn't going to have any formal wedding and put out a lot of dough to feed your hungry friends and their squalling brats.
There wouldn't have been any brats there at all.
How do you know?
Because it said plainly on the invitation, Mr. and Mrs. John Bickerson will be married March 9th. No children expected.
Put out the lights.
I'm never going back to that horrible apartment we live in. I'm going to sit here and stare at the falls forever. Wouldn't hurt you to look at them either.
I see them every day on a shredded wheat box.
How can you be so cynical? I'm glad I have a little romance in my soul. Just the sight of those falls bring back memories.
No.
Sit up, John. Look at that cascade. Doesn't it remind you of something?
Yeah.
What, John?
I think I left the water running in the bathtub.
John, you didn't.
Okay, I didn't. Good night, Blanche.
I never should have trusted you to lock up. Now I'm really worried. Did you close all the windows?
Close the windows.
You didn't leave any lights burning, did you?
Hmm.
Did you leave food for the cat?
That's enough for a week.
What did you leave him?
A 6-pound tin of corned beef.
Did you empty it into a plate?
No.
Well, how do you expect the cat to eat it?
I left the can opener on top. Stop worrying about that cat.
We should have taken all the animals with us. Poor little canary's locked in the cage. The cat can't get out of the house, and who's going to feed the goldfish? I'll bet they're terribly unhappy.
Oh, they're not unhappy. They're having a fine vacation.
They are not.
They are, too. When I left, the cat was fishing.
Fishing? Where?
In the goldfish bowl. And he was using the canary for bait.
John Bickerson.
Oh, go to sleep. Canary and the goldfish are fine, and I wish that cat had dropped dead.
Don't talk like that. I love that cat. When I get home, I'm going to enter him in a cat show.
What for? He couldn't win anything.
Maybe not, but he'd meet an awful nice cat.
Sleep, will you, Blanche?
I'm not sleepy. Why don't you sit up and talk to me?
Blanche, people don't talk at 4 o'clock in the morning.
You talked until 5 o'clock on our first honeymoon. Oh. You kept reciting poetry and telling me how beautiful I was. Do you remember what you said, John?
No.
You told me your love for me was like a raging inferno. You said you had a fierce fire blazing in your breast like a live coal. What happened to it, John?
It's only a clinker now.
How can you say such terrible things to me?
Blanche, I'm so sleepy, I don't know what I'm saying.
I'd like to hear you say things like that to Gloria Gooseby.
Can't I even go to Niagara Falls without Gloria Gooseby?
The only reason you didn't was because she wouldn't have you.
What?
You proposed to her 15 times before you proposed to me, you big second fiddle, you.
I never proposed to Gloria Gooseby, and you know it. And the next time I see her, I'm going to punch her husband, Leo, right in the nose.
What have you got against Leo? He's a better husband than you are.
And I'm sick of hearing that, too. Leo Gooseby is a cheap, chiseling bum.
He is not. He's more generous than you.
Would Leo Gooseby give you a new dress? No. Would he give you a new hat? No. Would he give you a mink coat? No.
Would you give me a mink coat?
No. Why should I give you anything Leo wouldn't give you?
You'll wake up the whole hotel.
Well, stop goading me. You want me to do nothing but fight, fight, fight?
No, I don't. All I do is ask for proof that you love me and you go into a tent.
Blanche, what more proof do you want? I tell it to you 1,000 times a day. I raise a new crop of freckles to spell out I love you. I painted it on all the Burma shave signs.
Honey.
Somebody's at the door, John.
Honey. Honey. Honey.
Madam, this is not a beehive. It's my bedroom. People wandering around in the halls at this time of night for broken down hotel.
Don't be so crabby. It's probably some nice little bride who can't find her husband. Maybe lost.
He isn't lost. He's hiding. Put out the lights, Blanche. I got a vile headache.
Well, nobody told you to yell your brains out.
Good night.
If you just stand here and look at the falls for a few minutes, your headache will go away and you'll sleep fine.
Mm.
Where does all that water come from? I once read that it goes over at the rate of 346,000 gallons a second. John?
No.
Are the falls higher on the American side or the Canadian side?
I don't know.
I'll have to find out in the morning. What a majestic spectacle. I'm convinced there's nothing in the world like Niagara Falls.
Except you, Blanche.
Really, John? Why do you say that?
Because you never dry up either.
Not John.
Amici and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Dickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. The Dickersons have retired. It is close to 3 o'clock in the morning, and Mrs. Dickerson lies tense and sleepless in the dark as poor husband John, victim of raucous insomnia or whimpers malady, reaches a climax during an acute attack of his strange ailment.
Blanche.
What about me? What am I supposed to do while you grind away like a buzzsaw? I never sleep at all.
You were fast asleep when I came home from my lodge meeting.
What time did you come in?
I don't know. Put out the light.
You said you'd have one drink and get home at 10.
Well, I had 10 drinks and got home at 1. You knew where I was all the time. Now, don't start beefing about it.
I didn't know where you were. I would have called you.
What for?
Because the express man came around again with that package. It's from Kentucky, and there's freight charges on it.
Well, why didn't you pay him? I've been waiting for that package.
What is it?
It's my dividend. I belong to the Bottle of the Month Club.
I'm just sick and tired of the way your whole life is wrapped up in a bottle of bourbon.
You're just sick and
tired. Maybe you'd like me better if I wore a label and put a cork in my mouth.
You'd even wear a label, Blanche.
There you go with your subtle insults again. When am I supposed to talk to you? You rush away in the morning and come home at night when I'm sleeping. Sit up and talk to me, John.
Blanche, I'm dead tired. I don't know what time I came home, but I was in the kitchen for over an hour.
I know. I heard you puttering around in there.
I wasn't puttering. You asked me to fix the electric toaster and the curling iron, didn't you? Well, I fixed them both.
Do they work?
They work fine. Except the toast popped up with a permanent.
It doesn't surprise me. Did you turn off all the lights?
Turned off the lights.
And suppose you left a mess in the kitchen.
No mess.
I hope you locked the back door. The cat got out 3 times last week.
Cat won't get out tonight.
Where'd you put him?
In the birdcage.
In the birdcage? Where's the canary?
In the cat.
Johnson!
Stop knocking yourself out. Nothing happened to the canary and the cat fast asleep in the oven.
Don't scare me like that. Are you sure all the animals are taken care of?
I'm sure.
How about the fishbowl? Did you heat up the water for the new baby goldfish?
I heated his water, gave him his pablum, burped him twice, and changed his diaper. Will you put out the lights and let me sleep?
Why are you so cross and disagreeable all the time, John?
Because I'm exhausted.
That's not true. You'd rather stay out the whole night carousing with your roughneck friends. Just killed you to spend the night with me.
Oh, it doesn't kill me.
It's a funny thing, but I don't need anybody else. I'm always satisfied just to be with you.
Well, you're in better company than I am.
Keep it up, John. Keep adding insult to injury. Never a kind word or a compliment.
You'll never.
Just work me to death like a slave. Pick at my meals and complain about my cooking.
I never complain about your cooking.
Then why didn't you eat that pie I made tonight?
I did eat it. I ate every bit of it.
You didn't like it.
I couldn't chew it. The undercrust is like cardboard.
Undercrust?
Yes.
That pie didn't have any undercrust. I gave it to you on a paper plate.
Is better than the pie. Don't make pies anymore. I hate pies. I hate all desserts. Especially that orange meringue broccoli dream cake you make. Don't make me any more desserts.
I never know what to make for you. You've got the weirdest appetite of any man alive.
Yes, sure, weird.
For 2 months running, you wouldn't eat anything but pig's knuckles. Pig's knuckles, pig's knuckles.
What about it?
Just because you wanted pig's knuckles, I had to cook my fingers to the bone. Chef. I cook for you, I scrub for you, I sew for you. Do I get any thanks?
Thanks.
Thanks, that's all the thanks I get. No love, no affection. How I envy Louise Shaw. Her husband treats her more like a friend than a wife.
Well, settle down, will you, Blanche?
No, I won't. You think Louise ever makes breakfast for Mel? Not that lazy lump. She makes him go to work every day without a morsel of food. Just a kiss for breakfast. Would you be satisfied with that?
Sure, send her over in the morning.
Satisfied if I gave you a kiss for breakfast?
Blanche, I'd be satisfied with anything if you'd just let me get some rest.
Answer me. Do you want a kiss for breakfast?
Yes.
Well, ask for it.
Blanche, I want a kiss for breakfast.
Don't do me any favors. I'll never let you kiss me again as long as you live. Not until you apologize.
Apologize for what? What have I done?
It's what you haven't done. You haven't told me you love me for years. Why don't you say you're sorry you married me?
Because I'm not.
Am I the only wife in the world for you?
You're the only wife in the world for me.
You're lying. Swear.
I swear I'm lying. I mean, I'm not lying.
Well, that's no way to swear. Say it nicely.
You're the only wife in the world for me.
Really, John?
Really, I wouldn't have another wife like you for anything.
I wish I'd known more about you before we were married.
Oh, you knew everything.
I didn't know about that tattoo you have on your stomach. Indication to a man's character. I wish I'd known.
Now, wait a minute. I had that tattoo put on my stomach when I was just a silly kid.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. A hula girl with a big dimple in her chin.
That dimple was there before she was. Don't go digging up my stomach at this time of the night.
Ugly picture removed.
Okay, I'll have it removed in the morning.
You say it, but you won't do it. Have it done now.
What?
Go on, get up and get rid of that hula girl.
Are you out of your mind? It's almost 4 o'clock in the morning.
You'd get rid of her quick enough if you were married to Gloria Gooseby.
Ooh, now don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
She'd holler plenty if you didn't do what she likes.
I always do what she likes and she never hollers. I hate the sight of Gloria Gooseby. I never want you to mention her name again. Do you hear me?
Don't yell at me. I'm sick.
Sick.
Dr. Hersey told me there's something the matter with my head.
You don't mean to say you paid a doctor for that?
Say one if you like, but I know it won't last long.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Are you really sick?
So sick I could die. I think I'm poisoned. I've got the most awful indigestion. Call the doctor, John.
You don't need the doctor. I'll take care of it. Lie still and I'll fry you some radishes and hot sauerkraut juice. Finest cure in the world for indigestion. Lie still.
John Dickerson, I don't want any of your insane remedies. You'll treat me for indigestion and I'll probably die of liver trouble.
Listen, if I treat you for indigestion, you'll die of indigestion. Now, do you want me to help you or not?
Well, I'll feel a lot better if you just don't scream at me and tell me you love me.
Yeah, I knew you weren't sick.
Tell me you love me, John.
I love you.
How much do you love me?
How much do you need?
He's only only 2 days away, and I haven't got a new hat.
What happened to the hat you bought last Easter?
It's in a box on the dresser, but that hat's worn out.
Well, wear the box. Can't be squandering my money on Easter hats.
Please, John, just this one. I saw a wonderful hat with a reversible brim that can be turned up or down.
How much is it?
$60.
Turn it down.
Down. I turn everything down because you're always looking for bargains. But when you married me, you didn't get any bargains.
How well I know it.
Oh, you know what I mean. You only like the kind of woman who would pass up a mink coat to buy a cheap fur.
Well, what's wrong with buying a cheap fur?
Nothing. Would you like to see the one I bought, dear?
What?
It's a dyed rabbit choker, and it only costs $94.
$94 for a dead rabbit?
Don't get me wrong.
Squander my money like that. I deny myself everything. Last week I had all my teeth pulled out so I could save money on eating. I've been sewing collars on your old boomers and wearing them for shirts. I haven't even got a pair of pants. Yesterday I hung a wish broom through your plaid skirt and went to work dressed as a Scotchman. And she spent $94 on Easter rabbits.
All right, I'll take it back. I never knew you could be so mean.
Oh, take it back.
I wish my poor granddaddy was still alive. He'd never let you treat me like this.
All of a sudden, she's got a granddaddy. I never heard you mention him before.
He was the best friend I ever had. I took his advice on everything.
Oh, yes.
He could have settled a lot of our problems. I'll bet he'd tell you to let me keep that choker.
How do you know?
Because I know. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him.
Suppose he isn't in heaven.
Then you can ask him.
Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Monday for another episode of The Bickersons and check in on Wednesday for the next installment of The Bob Hope Show. Until we meet again, in the words of Alice Roosevelt Longworth, if you haven't got anything nice to say about anybody, come sit next to me.